blanket coats and broad-brimmed hats. One carries a countryman's double-barreled shotgun. The other looks very ill, and his head is swathed in a bandage. A soldier beside them is in full uniform, a rarity in this army. He wears the blue coat and red facings of Hazlitt's Delaware Regiment. Another figure wears a boat cloak and an oiled hat that a prosperous Baltimore merchant might have used on a West Indian voyage. His sleeve reveals the facings of Smallwood's Silk Stocking Maryland Regiment. Hidden behind them is a mysterious 13th man. Only his weapon is visible. One wonders who he might have been. The dominant figures in the painting are two gentlemen of Virginia who stand tall above the rest. One of them is Lieutenant James Monroe, holding a big American flag upright against the storm. The other is Washington, in his continental uniform of buff and blue. He holds a brass telescope and wears a heavy saber, symbolic of a statesman's vision and a soldier's strength. The artist invites us to see each of these soldiers as an individual, but he also reminds us that they are all in the same boat, working desperately together against the wind and current. He has given them a common sense of mission, and in the stormy sky above he has painted a bright prophetic star, shining through a veil of cloud. Most Americans recognize this image, and many remember its name. It is Washington Crossing the Delaware, painted by Emanuel Leutze in 1850. Today it hangs in New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art. Visitors who are used to seeing it in reproduction are startled by its size, 12 feet high and 20 feet wide. The painting itself has a history. The artist was a German-American immigrant of strong liberal democratic principles who returned to his native land and strongly supported the revolutions of 1848. In the midst of that struggle, Emanuel Leutze conceived the idea of a painting that would encourage Europe with the example of the American Revolution. His inspiration was a poem by Ferdinand Freiligart called Sa Ira, which created the image of a vessel filled with determined men. You ask, astonished, what's her name? To this question there's but one solution, and in Austria and Prussia it's the same. The ship is called Revolution. In 1848 and 1849, Leutze began to work on the great canvas. An early study survives, complete only for vivid figures of Washington and Monroe and a single soldier. It is painted in strong primary colors, bright with hope and triumph. After he started, the European revolutions failed. But the artist kept working on his project in a different mood. The colors turned somber, and the painting came to center more on struggle than triumph. Leutze recruited American tourists and art students in Europe to serve as models and assistants. Together, they finished the painting in 1850. Just after it was completed, a fire broke out in the artist's studio, and the canvas was damaged in a curious way. The effect of smoke and flame was to mask the central figures of Washington and Monroe in a white haze, while the other men in the boat remained sharp and clear. The ruined painting became the property of an insurance company, which put it on public display. Even in its damaged state, it won a gold medal in Berlin and was much celebrated in Europe. It became part of the permanent collection of the Bremen Art Museum. There it stayed until September 5, 1942, when it was destroyed in a bombing raid by the British Royal Air Force. In what some have seen as a final act of retribution for the American Revolution. Emanuel Leutze painted another full-sized copy and sent it to America in 1851, where it caused a sensation. In New York, more than 50,000 people came to see it, among them the future novelist Henry James, who was then a child of 8. Many years later, he remembered that no impression in his youth was half so momentous as that of the epoch-making masterpiece of Mr. Leutze, which showed us Washington crossing the Delaware in a wondrous flare of projected gaslight and with the effect of a revelation. Henry James recalled that he gaped responsive at every item, lost in the marvel of wintry light, of the sharpness of the ice blocks, the sickness of the sick soldier. Most of all, he was inspired by the upright image of Washington, by the profiled national hero's purpose, as might be said, of standing up as much as possible, even, indeed, of doing it almost on one leg in such difficulties. The great painting went to the city of Washington and was exhibited in the rotunda of the national capital. Northerners admired it as a symbol of freedom and union. Southerners liked it as an image of liberty and independence. When the Civil War began, it was used to raise money for the Union cause and the anti-slavery movement. The presence of an African-American in the boat was not an accident. The artist was a strong abolitionist. In 1897, private collector John S. Kennedy bought the painting for the extravagant sum of $16,000 and gave it to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. There it remained until 1950, when Romantic history paintings passed out of fashion among sophisticated New Yorkers. It was sent away to the Dallas Art Museum in Texas, and then to Washington Crossing State Park in Pennsylvania, where it stayed until 1970. Among the American people, the painting never passed out of fashion. Many cherish it as an image of patriotism, and they have reproduced it in icons of wood, metal, ceramics, textiles. It appeared on postage stamps, dinner plates, placemats, key rings, coffee mugs, and T-shirts. By the mid-20th century, the painting was so familiar that artists quoted its image without explanation, not always in a reverent way. Cartoonists invented angry satires of Nixon crossing the Delaware, Ronald Reagan crossing the Caribbean, feminists crossing the Rubicon, and multiculturalists rocking the boat. American iconoclasts made the painting a favorite target. Postmodernists studied it with a skeptical eye and asked, "Is this the way that American history happened? Is it a way that history ever happens? Are any people capable of acting in such a heroic manner?" The iconoclasts answered all of those questions in the negative, and they debunked the painting with high enthusiasm. On National Public Radio in 2002, commentator Ina Jaffe argued at length that Emanuel Leutze's painting bore little resemblance to historical reality, and she recited a long list of its historical flaws. As other critics had done, she pointed out correctly that the flag was wrong. The Stars and Stripes was not adopted until 1777. "What's more," Ms. Jaffe added, warming to her work, "the boats used by the Continental Army were different. The time of day is wrong."